your Bibles, please, and turn to the 95th Psalm. This has been a message that I have worked on and has been on my heart for the last several weeks, but was not able to go to it. I want to finish up, Behold Your King, Lord willing, next Sunday, Behold Your Coming King. But this was on my heart, and I believe on the Lord's heart. And so I wanted to bring us to this. Now let me ask you, how many of you need to go this morning to the spring of God? I want to tell you something. Every one of us need our God this morning. Are we listening? If you're looking to man, you're going to be disappointed. You need to be looking to God. Amen? Psalm 95, verse 1. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Once again, two words. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Did you catch that? Is it possible to hear the voice of God and return and answer that voice with a hardened heart? Israel did it. Many people have done it. Harden not your heart, verse 8 again, as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, put me to the test, and saw my work. This is a message. This is a message from God's Word, the Bible. This is a message from God's Word about what we do with a message from God's Word. When we come to church, we fellowship with each other. Sometimes we eat. I can't wait. We greet visitors and we'll sing, as the Bible says, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. But the fact of the matter is, this is not a fellowship service. Listen, it's a worship service. And that deals with one person, and that's God. He who answers our spring's needs. Whenever the Word of God is opened and preached or taught, everyone makes a decision based upon hearing that message. Everyone. In fact, every heart in this building this morning, by the way, including mine, every heart has prepared and or is preparing to make a decision on what you do with what you will hear from God's Word this morning. You might deny it, but that's not true. You will make a decision. You are making a decision. Maybe even right now. God will speak. God is speaking. He has spoken through Psalm 95 already. And the question is, what do we do with it? Do you know that the entire Bible is an invitation? The entire Bible is a book of invitation. That book invites us to come to our Creator, Savior, God. Come. In fact, if you went to Revelation 22, you read the very last words of this book in the Revelation, and you read this. Revelation 22, 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, say what? Come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, remember the springs? Come. And whosoever will, if you are willing to come to the Word of God, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. But you have to come. Are we still on the same page? All right. You know, if go to Matthew 11, would you? It's a familiar passage, but I want our eyes to gaze on it. Matthew 11, Jesus Christ, here on earth, and in a very familiar passage, he says this in verse 28. Say the first word with me. Come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? How many of you, there are times you think, boy, I tell you what, I need rest. Amen? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Then, let's continue. Look at verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So what Jesus does is he goes on to explain what it is exactly he wants to do for you and for me and for all mankind. But the very first word out of his mouth was, come. Now there's a mental picture, I pray, begins to form in your heart and in your mind. This book is not a static book. When people read it, people are urged to move. You don't stay where you're at. You are going to move somewhere. The God of heaven who calls out to you. That's why, brother, when you were preaching the message, in fact, Wayne, who's working up there in the balcony, said he was reading my notes and he was listening to what you were saying, Matt. He thought, man alive, did they get there, you know, how in the world did they come together like this? That was great. I'm listening to that and I thought, praise God, Lord, you know exactly what you're doing. While we listen to the message like we did in Sunday school, we hear, and there were those around Jesus, like Philip, like Andrew, that when they went to family, friends, they said, come. There's an invitation, and there is an invitation every time we hear God's Word. Now, again, I'm not trying to be irritable. There might be a couple of you who think, well, you always are. That's fine. But this is God's Word. And sometimes God's Word irritates, doesn't it? Because we get sin in our lives. We get to going off in another direction. Next thing you know, we're chasing after the world. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed. That is so sad. Because the God of heaven comes and says, for salvation, for sanctification, to serve me, come. And then there are times we wind up hardening our hearts. But I'm getting away from the notes. Let's get back. When it came to serving the Lord, it was about also an invitation. Mark 1:17. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. The time of an invitation or call can reveal, listen, a person's true heart, I should say. You're in Matthew 11. Go a few pages over to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. Now don't keep with me this morning. Look at verse 21. Look at verse 21, Matthew 19. Jesus is responding to a young man, says, "Hey, I've been living great. What more do I need to do?" Look at verse 19. Excuse me, I'm sorry, forgive me. Verse 21. Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Let me ask you something. I don't know where your walk was with the Lord in time past, but right now, wherever you are and however you are in Jesus Christ, if the Lord said, "You do this, this, and this with what you have, and come follow me," wait for it. What would your response be? What was this young man's response? He had great what? Possession. He didn't follow, did he? You know, we wind up getting so comfortable in this place, this Babylon, whatever you want to call it. We wind up getting so comfortable in this place, we can't be disturbed by the gospel. You know, we got interrupted, you know, in our lives for salvation. Well, praise God for that. But that's all the interruption we really want. What is it that takes place in our hearts when there's a call to serve God, when there's a call to come to the altar and give it to God? Give your life to God. Give up the sin. What happens? Do we all of a sudden just, you know, well, I bought a piece of land and I need to go see it, you know, to see if it was really worth the money that I gave. Well, I bought a yoke of oxen and you know what? I need to go see if they were worth buying. Now, the one guy really, he had, he had the best, you know, excuse of all. "I have gotten me a wife, and therefore I cannot come." Now I'm going back to a parable that the Lord told. But the point is this. When the Lord says, "Come," what is our response? When it comes to a sinner, if there is sin in your life, Isaiah is used of God to point it out when he says in Isaiah 1:18, "Come," that's an invitation, "come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." He says, "Hey, listen, you come. You will be clean. I can do for you what no one and nothing else can do. Your sin has blinded you. Come. Come, forsake it. To the lukewarm church, we've read this before. I'm sure you've read it in your devotions. In Revelation chapter 3, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." So he's knocking at the door. There was a young convert, young lady that was full of sin. And in John chapter 4, the Lord took time with her and she got to where she was from and said, "Come see a man that told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" You see, God gives us an invitation, and people that are excited about the Lord, they wind up getting busy with an invitation too. Andrew went after Peter. Here was Philip went after Nathanael, and it just goes on and on and on. The invitation never quits when you are excited about the God that has saved you. That little sign that we have there on the back, the sun never sets on a missions-loving church. I love that because missionaries have a passion to go reach people with the gospel, and you've got 24/7. Stop and think about it. It's 9 o'clock in the morning, Monday morning right now, with Tim and Megan. They just had, I'm sure, a great service. He preached today, yesterday, whatever you want to call it, in Auckland. There was an invitation there. How do I know? I know Tim. You see, there's always an invitation in calling. The Lord often spelled out the cost. In Matthew 16:24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Would you take your Bible and go to Ezekiel 33? Ezekiel 33. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. The Lord points out to Ezekiel something that really is quite sad. And the fact of the matter is, we can wind up having situations like this in church. You know, we can wind up looking at the one who brings the message, whoever it might be, an evangelist, a missionary like we had last Sunday, or this morning our brother getting up, or even me. And we wind up looking at everything but the message. I wonder why Pastor keeps taking his glasses off. For two reasons. Number one, even though I've been wearing these things since I was 22 years old, I hate wearing glasses. But number two, they're a good prop. Because when you take your glasses off, you want people to look you right in the eye because you're about to make a good point. At least you believe that is from God's Word. And whenever you make a point from God's Word, it's a good point. Amen? Look, if you would please, at verse 30. The Lord tells this to Ezekiel. What a heartbreak. Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people. And they hear thy words. Look at that next phrase. But they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they will not do them. You know, in the Olympics where they wind up giving, you know, gonna give a score. You know, they hold up the card, you know, it's got a 10, 9, 8, you know, whatever. You know, sometimes it's almost, I almost feel like this, you know, it's like somebody says, well, you know, preacher, he was doing halfway, you know, I'll give him a 7.5, you know. That joke was funny. I'll give him a 9, you know. Or, you know what, he keeps taking his glasses off. I'll give him a 5. But you know something? Let me ask you this. When it comes to what God was trying to tell us, what do we give him? See, this is the point. We wind up coming. There are millions of people in churches today, right now, that are sitting there in an auditorium just like this, hearing a message, but not planning on doing a thing with what God says from His Word. Rather, we have paid our due, we have put our dollar in the plate, we have shaken a few hands, we are going to leave afterwards until next week. And between now and next week, my life is mine. But that's not what you were saved for, is it? Because we're called, aren't we? And that call was an invitation. And we read again, as we have seen, we read in that Bible the invitation over and over and over again, some calling, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In many churches, they will have what is called an invitation. We've kind of gotten away from this, and that really is my fault. In some ways, I didn't want people to feel pressured about coming here. But there has been something that has happened, and I don't believe it makes God happy. See, some people, they'll look at this and it's like, well, you know, that's just the way of preacher keeping score. No, it's not. No, it's not. But remember what I said? You know, everybody makes a decision at a service. I challenge you to do this. Go through the Gospels and you will realize this, that the invitations that the Lord made were public. They were public. Now, some, they don't like it. And I'm not saying that a person, a preacher, is doing wrong if he does not give an invitation. Except this. You and me both need to be challenged on a choice that is made. When we are at the men's meeting, right, Larry, and the invitation is given, how many guys wind up coming to the altar? Yes. And I mean God works and in a great way. For the two-minute warning here, same thing. Now, I'm not preaching this to get you to come forward. Why I believe the Lord has laid this on my heart is for this reason. We have forgotten that four-letter word, come. Not to the preacher, but to our God. An invitation is not a gimmick. An invitation is not a way to keep score. It's not a Baptist tradition. It's not a call for open admission to guilt. I wonder why that person is going forward. Ha! If it was my kale, I think I know why. No, that's not what it's about. You know what I love? Chuck Coffey told me one time, he said there was a church that he was at in the South. When there was an invitation and somebody came forward, there would be two or three people that would follow up behind them and they would pray with them. I think that's great. You know something? There are people in this auditorium. We don't need to have a raise of hands right this, but let me tell you something. Based on, number one, what I know of the people that come to this fellowship, come to this church, and how I pray for you, and I remember things that are going through your life. And the fact of the matter is, how Christians are up against some things today, you would wish that if you came forward, there'd be a couple of other people that'd be praying with you. What is an invitation? Aren't you glad the Lord gave an invitation to Noah? Come, thou and all thy house, into the ark. And like I said, the Bible ended with the invitation. The spirit of the bride say, come. Again, with Christ, it was always public. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before who? Men. Him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. When it comes to the invitation, I find it coming down to these two things. There are some invitations in the Bible that are a call. And then there are others, they're a choice. First of all, when it comes to a call, like we cited, Isaiah chapter 1, come and let us reason together. Isaiah 45:22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Matthew 11:28, again, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. When we come as a local assembly, the call ought to always go out of that. Remember in Psalm 95, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. We're going to be going back to that. Sadly, like we've seen, God's call is not always heeded. Psalm 81:11, but my people would not hearken to my voice. If you're saved, if you're born again by the blood of the Lamb, say amen. Oh, man. Are you really saved? Say amen. Let me ask you something. But my people, that's us, would not hearken to my voice. Now, he's speaking about Israel. But we are the people of God. Some are a call. Some are a choice. Moses challenged God's people in Exodus 32, who is on the Lord's side? Come unto me. Joshua issued an ultimatum. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. Joshua 24:15. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 30, would you please? Deuteronomy chapter 30. Excellent, excellent example. And look at verse 15. He says, the Lord does through Moses, and Moses speaks, see, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. Stop and think about this. We've got things that are being set before people today that are absolutely disgusting. I don't want us to dwell on this. But my wife and I were talking just yesterday and the day before yesterday. I can't believe what is getting put before people. I mean, this thing about drag queens going to a library and children sitting there. And now I just read about a drag queen going in and talking to boys and girls about how to do makeup. That's disgusting. What the Lord is saying through Moses here is this. I've presented before you, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Now he's talking about the law. But any pastor ought to be getting before his people and saying, hey, here's what's good, here's what's bad. Don't go there, go here. Don't neglect the Lord. Listen to his voice. Don't go after Vanity Fair. Don't go after the world. We have a kingdom that is coming. We've got a home in heaven. We are citizens of heaven. Let's go back. Verse 16. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. That's part of his invitation. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt hear, will not hear, but shall be drawn away, and worship other gods, and serve them, I denounce unto you this day, that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call, verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. That's a message. Every time. Life and death, blessing and cursing. And the pastor's going to say, listen, choose life. Because it depends on, it, when it comes to you and your children, those that you impact, this is why it's so important. How many of you are sick and tired of seeing the direction America is going? Can you imagine if every Bible-believing Christian in America decided to get right with God, what would happen? And I'm not saying all the independent fundamental, you know, Baptists. I'm talking anybody that has trusted Christ as Savior. What would happen to this nation? Why is it that we don't do that? We're not hearing the call. And I can't do anything about a church down the street that way or that way or that way. But you know something? We can look to the Lord at Faith Baptist this morning and we can say, you know what? First of all, I need to recognize I'm being called. God did not save you to be static. Secondly, I need to understand just how I have been responding to that call. And if I need to, I need to get right with God this morning. Maybe I need to ask a brother or sister in Christ to pray with me. And if we don't take it that seriously, then how in the world can we be justified in bemoaning down the road when this nation finally collapses under its corruption? And it's headed that way. Oh, no problem, I'll just move out of California. The sin will move with you. Satan will follow. Why do some people fear or shun an invitation? Get a little concerned when the preacher starts talking about this. Well, first of all, there's the fear of man, but Proverbs 29 tells us the fear of man bringeth a snare. There's also pride. Ah, you know what? I'll just pray about this sometime down the road. No, you won't. No, you won't. But then also, there's the hardness of heart. And let's finish up back where we first read Psalm 95. We'll be done here in just a few moments. Look at verse 7 again. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. I want to show you three things. Number one, a special duty. Hear his voice. Let me ask you, when you woke up this morning, were you preparing your heart to hear the voice of God? I didn't think I needed to do that. I'm going to church. No, our hearts need to be prepared. You know, the soils, there's the stony soil, the rocky soil, the soil with the weeds. But then there's the prepared soil. It'll receive the seed. Yeah, but I'm saved. Doesn't matter. Sometimes we need to break up our fallow ground, don't we? So let me ask you, were you prepared? Has God spoken to you this morning? Well, I've heard what you're saying, preacher. No, 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 no. Has God spoken to you? Again, we're not static. The Holy Spirit that comes to possess us always has a word for us when the word is open. Secondly, there's a special duty, but there's a special time. Today. Today. Not 2020. Today. And then there's a special danger. Harden not your hearts. I don't care what you say, preacher. I'm just not going to change my way of life. Number one, I'm not the one that died on the cross for you. He did. Number two, I'm not the one that can command you. He does. And you know, you've got to stop and think about this. We look at this young couple. They're on their way to Maui. I'll guarantee you they're not going there so that they can enjoy paradise. The wicked one will be waiting for them. And all you have to do is talk to Pastor Surface, and he will tell you what some of the things God's people have had to put up with in the land of paradise. Just like the Golden State. What's happened to the gold in the Golden State? It's tarnished. I don't know what the Lord has spoken to you about, but I want to ask you something. Are you focused on what he seeks to tell you? Harden not your heart. Instead, hear his voice. When? Today. This is a place that we have used often. People come and they'll pray, and some people, really, they're not comfortable with that. I understand that. It's not necessarily the place. But I do know that coming to the Lord has always been here, has always been a joy for people to publicly say, you know what? I'm letting God do a work in my life. I'm letting Him do it. What concerns me is when people say, not today. Not today. Haven't heard His voice. And if I had, I'm not going to do what he's told me to do. People who have served the Lord in time past, people who maybe, sadly, maybe even be thinking, well, I had my turn at it. I'm letting somebody else do it. You know, God is still calling people to the mission field, but there's far more people coming off the mission field than there are that are going on the mission field. That's right, isn't it, brother? It's the same thing with the pulpit. It's the same thing with soul winners. We've gone backwards. You know why? Today, if you'll hear his voice, didn't do it. Harden not your heart. Well, it did. Is there sin in your life? The Lord has pointed out this morning. Have you hardened your heart? Has the Lord been saying to you, follow me? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would guide now in this invitation time. Your will be done. With heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking about, I want to ask you something. Is there sin that you need to confess, Christian? Remember the protocols of prayer that we got from Brother Vaughn when he was here? There's the protocol of cleansing. Have you been seeking God to cleanse your heart? Is there sin that needs to be taken care of? Number two, Has God been calling you? Oh, not necessarily to the mission field, but has there been something He's been seeking to tell you, instruct you about from His Word? And the fact of the matter is, you've hardened your heart. This is not fun and games. This is the reality of life. This is the real thing. And what we do right now shows just what we really believe about our God. I don't know what your need is, but in a moment we're going to stand and the pianist is going to play. And whatever your need is here at the altar or there at your seat, you need to go face to face with the God of heaven. Confess sin, repent, surrender, whatever it might be. But God is calling. Let's stand.